plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
Well, greetings, friends. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. And once again, why don't we have better news today? If mankind had listened to the message that God Almighty sent by Jesus Christ, if the world believed it and followed that way, we would have good news today. But instead, we have to tell you about the good news of the world tomorrow. Because Jesus Christ said that his kingdom was not of this world, it's of the world tomorrow. And then we're going to have good news because all nations are going to learn the way of God, the way to peace, the way to happiness, the way to everything that we all want and desire, only we want it our way and we don't want to do the things that will produce it. We've just been going the wrong way. Now, my friends, get out your Bibles and find some surprises. As we go through the Bible and see what Jesus Christ taught, what he believed, the customs that he followed, we find that they are diametrically opposite to those that are believed today. Now, Jesus said that in vain do they worship him, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men, the ideas of men. That's exactly what we have today. I tell you, my friends, it's time to wake up. There's a cause for all of the unhappiness, for the empty lives, for the world chaos, for the war, for everything that we have on this earth today. There is a cause for it. There's a reason. And we can only get world peace and universal prosperity and happy, filled, abundant lives for all of us when we learn the way of living that will produce that kind of lives. Jesus Christ came and proclaimed that way. They accepted him. They accepted his name. They went out and used the prestige of his name, but they preached a different message. And they encouraged people in the ways of self and selfishness. They went out with the assumption that this is the world of God, that this is God's world, that this world is all right, that humanity is very good. They went out teaching you to have confidence in men and to believe in men. And also just believe in Christ. And they made the kingdom of God a sort of an imaginary thing. They made the way of God merely a fluffy fluff type of emotion or sentiment and sentimentality. And they go around prating about it while they deny him in their actions, their works, their actual beliefs. Well, now here we are in Mark, the 8th chapter and the 31st verse. I'm using the harmony of the Gospels, putting Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John all together. And this is using the American Revised Translation of around the turn of the century, about 50 years ago, a revision of the old King James Translation. Jesus began to teach them. This is Mark 8:31. You might also have your Bible open to Matthew 16, because we'll be coming to that in just a few minutes. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man, that is he himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Well, there it is. Look at it with your own eyes. Today they tell you that he was crucified on Good Friday. Today they tell you that the resurrection was on Sunday morning. Now, my friends, if he was crucified on Friday and buried Friday evening just before sunset, and it's established by Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, all four of them, that the burial of Jesus by Joseph of Arimathea was just before sunset, and the Sabbath day was coming on, and of course it would have violated the law of the Sabbath, and especially as the Jews of that time were practicing it, if they had done the work of burial after sunset that evening when the Sabbath came on. And so Joseph of Arimathea had to hasten, and he had to bury the body of Jesus in his own new tomb, which was near at hand, because it was in very close proximity, and there wasn't time to find any other place. It was an emergency proposition. So the burial was just before the end of the day when the Sabbath came on. Now, if he was killed, and after 3 days he rose again, and if he were killed or crucified on Friday, and he would rise after one day, rise again after one day, if he had said, and after one day I will rise again, after one day would have to be after. Now, the resurrection could not be any nearer than, let's say, a tenth of a second after an exact approximately 24-hour period, because God does not measure days by 24 hours on a man-made watch. God measures days by the sun sets. And the sun does not set exactly 24 hours on one night from the night before, but it's very close. But it would have to be within a split second or less after the ending of a 24-hour period, that is, a sunset-to-sunset period, before it could be after one day. Otherwise, it would be before one day, not after. Now, after is after it's all over. And there is no way that you can figure by any process of second-grade arithmetic that the burial could have been any sooner if he had said after one day than to have been, if it was on Friday that he was crucified, to have been on Saturday evening at sunset or after. Now, if he had said after 2 days, it would have to have been Sunday evening, and after 3 days, after Monday evening. Now, it could have been Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it could have been any number of days after, but it could not have been a bit before. You can't get any particle of time less than 3 days and three nights in the expression here of Jesus Christ himself. It seems to me that I was running across a pamphlet or a booklet or an article in some religious magazine or something that somebody wrote trying to explain that Jesus was not 3 days and three nights in his grave. Now, Jesus said that the only sign he would give, I think we came to that yesterday or day before on this program, and we've come to it a number of times, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that is, their religious leaders, the preachers and the priests of that day over the people, wouldn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. But a lot of the people were beginning to accept him as the Messiah. And so they came and they said, "Now, Master, we would see a sign from thee." They asked him for a sign. A sign in Bible language is a supernatural proof of identity. By a miracle, proving an identity. Now, how would he prove he was the Messiah? Prove his identity as the very Son of God, the Messiah that had been foretold and prophesied by a miracle. Jesus said, "There shall no sign be given but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in his grave, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights."